Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hi, and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm not a frackin' Cylon. I'm an anomaly.
Hi, I'm Angela, and I'm like good boomer in season two, but I'm having a boy. And I am an anomaly.
Welcome, everyone.
Hello. Welcome to the podcast, people. It's us again talking about Battlestar.
Why? Yeah. Aren't you excited?
It takes us almost as long as it takes Battlestar to get another podcast
it
out.
It builds up the
excitement.
Excitement.
The energy.
The energy and the suspense.
There are two very important things in TV happening this week.
Oh, well, I know one of them.
And what is that, Jen?
The Battlestar premiere.
I'm very excited.
Yes. What's the other one?
On Spike TV, they are going to run all six episodes in a row
of Star Wars,
and they're playing it against Battlestar. Thank you very
Boo.
Much.
Boo! Hiss!
Yeah, that's not cool. Not cool
no.
at all.
Even though we own the DVDs and we watch them all the time.
Yeah, we'll probably want to watch them because there's something about, we should have that topic, or maybe we should discuss it right now for 2 seconds, but there's something about watching it on TV. I have all the DVDs of Buffy. But for some reason, I record them on DVR and watch them.
It draws you in.
I don't know. It's just the way that it works.
Well, I know that watching the commercials is very exciting.
Watching the commercials
gets me pumped for Star Wars every time I see them.
It does.
Even when I'm fast-forwarding through something that's recorded, I have to push play to watch the commercials.
Well, it is very exciting. Well, we love Star Wars, so. But we won't get into that now.
No.
The only thing is, I must say, is that's going to be hard. I wouldn't watch it anyway, probably, because they're playing them in the wrong order. As to what I feel is right.
In order of creation.
That's how I personally believe that is the proper way to watch Star Wars.
I'll watch them any way they come, but I like to watch them that way too.
Yeah. So we'll see after we have our child if we're going to let him watch them that way. Or if we'll let him watch them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's a very important choice in parenting.
What was it that Jim said about keeping that little bit of geekdom from him as long as possible?
Yeah, so my husband thinks that we need to keep Star Wars and some geek things as cool as possible. So we have to be very mysterious. So when he asks about Luke Skywalker, we'll be like, well, we'll tell you when you're older.
So he can't wait.
Right. So he thinks it's something that's very cool. And little will he know when he grows up, he'll be a big dork. His parents, which that's okay. That's what we want. So, as you can probably imagine, except for the last 5 seconds, we will be talking about Battlestar for the rest of the episode, and we're very excited about it. Yay!
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them?
A television junkie, I don't like what I see.
I'm a television junkie.
I don't understand the rest of the words.
It's TV time.
All right, people.
What are we going to talk about again?
Some show with spaceships.
Spaceships?
That's pretty broad, though, huh?
I don't really like spaceships.
There's like toasters or something involved.
That reminds me of the thing on the webcast we just watched. So if you haven't gone to see the webcasts about the pre-Battlestar Galactica premiere, you need to go watch them all right now. Listen to the rest of this and then then watch them, because the very best thing is what the frack is going on, and it is some of the funniest writing I've ever heard in my life.
We'll have to play parts of it on the podcast.
We'll see. I don't want to steal from their thunder, but some of it is just too funny. And the cool part is there's a chick narrating it, so that makes it even cooler.
Yes.
Trying to get the chicks in.
Well, quote her on some of the parts.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try not to. The only thing I like is bad boomer. Of course, it doesn't suck as much as I just did, but... The coolest thing on the website also that we noticed when we were watching all of these to kind of get caught back up, because it's been so long since we've watched Battlestar, is... that they have this very awesome graphic at the bottom of the page underneath the webcast. So can you explain a little bit about the graphic?
It is a depiction of the Last Supper with characters from Battlestar in the places of the disciples, which I'm
not going to like look at it as a religious painting, because it's really not. It's just kind of, I think it's a hint at what's going to happen this season, more or less. It's okay. It's kind of trying to give you a little bit of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not making fun of the, you know, the religion or the painting, no. Or I think it's
not necessarily making fun, but I think it's maybe paying homage to, or just kind of clicking that that part of your brain that thinks about symbolism.
Yes.
And there's the symbolism in Da Vinci's painting, and that it's not necessarily Christian theology or anything like that that it's referring to, but if you think about it, take yourself out of that situation and into the situation that the colonials and the Cylons are in, then it's more interesting as it applies to us.
Yes.
What did I just say? I have no idea.
It makes some sense.
Okay.
I don't know if we can even put that graphic on our website without getting in trouble.
Well, we can probably link to it, though.
Yeah.
Because as long as we don't say, hey, this is our graphic, we can say, hey, make sure to check this out. And it's also the same place where the little, not webcast, but the little Revelations and Star Trek. Oh, my gosh. I'm going insane. And Battlestar Revealed is on. And also the little fan film, like the Star fan film. So that would be... It would be a good thing to link to, because we just say it's on the, you know, it's on the sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely. Page. Well, in looking at the picture, none of the characters are really in the same places as the disciples in the painting. The only one that's central would be Six, who's standing in the place where Jesus was sitting in the Last Supper.
The focal point of the photo.
Yes, but it's debatable as to why she's there and what that means, because she doesn't... I don't know. Tell them what you think. Why she's standing in the center
about
of the painting.
Six's
she's not
character?
She's not the savior.
No, but it's hard to make a hard and fast comparison between, okay, this is going to be parallel between
exactly.
the Last Supper. I think that the fact that there is symbolism and not necessarily that it's parallel to our symbolism.
Right.
You know, but I think the one thing that is important is that is the relationships maybe between what we know of as the Last Supper and the disciples and Jesus and what's going on.
The last season of Battlestar
Galactica. The last season of it is kind of their Last Supper. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. But I think it's really good to start to talk about Six is to talk about her character in general.
Mm-hmm.
And about all the Sixes and how kind of they relate to each other, and why would she be placed in
the
that,
center, right?
In that place.
Well, she starts out as a really malicious, cold-hearted wench.
Yeah.
If you think about it, in the miniseries,
yes.
the thing that really turned me off initially was how she stepped over to the baby and broke its neck while the lady wasn't looking, while its mother was off, you know, looking at something else.
Yeah.
And you could either look at that as being merciful because of what's going to happen.
Okay.
Because the nukes were headed towards...
Yeah, so the baby was pretty much going to die anyway.
Yeah. Or just testing to see how fragile that we are as people.
Yeah. I don't know that it was that. I mean, I kind of look at that moment as kind of more like curiosity. Like, she was just really kind of wondering what would happen. It was more of an investigative thing. And then she almost, not just how fragile the baby was, but she probably was kind of curious, almost in a, I hate to bring it back to this, but almost in a data way, where it's like, huh, that emotion is fascinating to me. The fact that you're upset about that, you know? And, or early, you know, early Star Trek Data, where he would be very confused when people would cry or get mad. And that I think that it's more for her, she does have a sense of brutality about her, and she's capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
She even knows that it's wrong, but I look at it, you know, of course we're going to know more, because obviously some of these, quote unquote, the final four, or not final four, but those four Cylons we just met, have in one way or another been around the colonials for a long time. Now, how long, like, has Ty really, has he been a Cylon this whole time, or was he replaced by a Cylon a few years before?
Right.
You know, we're going to find that out. But the way I always looked at it was that Six had not really been around people. And so when she comes in her dealings with Baltar, and, you know, how she gets so jealous and all of those things are just kind of experiments in humanity.
Yeah. And she develops as the show progresses.
Yeah. So, and I think she's in that place of all the Cylons. I think she's one of the wild card because I think she wants to be human more than any of the other ones do.
That's
her tactics are questionable. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is that Boomer ends up being most human, but that's just kind of how she naturally is. I think that Six reaches higher. Mm-hmm. She reaches for a higher sense of being, that's why she is so religious in a way. She reaches a lot higher than Boomer. Boomer just is, you know?
When you said that Six is learning what it's like to be human,
mm-hmm.
maybe the fact that she's in the center is because the Cylons are human now, in a sense.
Yeah.
And if you think about what the Christ was sent down as a man mm-hmm. to experience and walk around with humans, if that's the reason why she's put in the center, that's kind of not, she's not a savior or a god. She's learning what it's like to be human and what humans have to go through and what kind of challenges and hurdles and obstacles they have to overcome.
And look how much she's been hurt as well as she's hurt others. I mean, it's come back to her model, you know, it's come mm-hmm. back to her model as well, you know, with Gina and other stuff that's happened to her and other models of her. So I don't know. I think that's very interesting. Plus, visually, with a red dress and everything, you know, it makes a pretty picture. So it may not mean anything.
Want to move on to the right or to the left of Six?
I think we need to move to stage left.
Which would be Baltar.
No. Stage left would be...
Oh, okay. Opposite. That would be...
Kara
leaning on...
And she's got long hair again. What's that about? And you know I don't like long hair. I mean, I don't like short hair on people. Except for you.
Thank you.
In general, I like long hair. But I've never liked Starbuck with long hair. It's just my thing. But anyway, this is completely off the subject.
I don't really know other than to set up that triangle that draws your eye to Six, what the purpose is of, I guess it's showing them as a couple again. She's leaning on him.
Yeah.
And in the Last Supper, there's a disciple leaning on another.
Mm-hmm.
In Leonardo da Vinci's depiction of the Last Supper. But it's to the left of Jesus. And it's debatable as to who that disciple is. But I don't think they're taking on that role at all. I just think it's meant to look like that.
Not necessarily, but I still feel that Starbuck, she is completely, not that she wasn't a wild card before, but wow, is she a wild card now?
Yeah.
As far as we don't even know what or who or what she is. I mean, you know, and that the weird part, what I was thinking about, I think I was talking to Jim about this the other day or yesterday, was that not just her, but her raptor. Her viper.
Yes.
I was like, I knew I was wrong. Her viper exploded. So, like, what is she flying? How did that get fixed? You know?
Good point.
That's my thing.
That's
it's
something
like,
they wouldn't
even
waste
if she
money
would have
on.
Lived and ejected and somehow lived, her viper would not necessarily
They showed us that on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, because it costs money to create scenes like that. Why would they show it to us unless there was a point to it?
Well, anyway, that will be very interesting to see. But mm-hmm. I think that's why she's toward the middle, though, because they could have put anybody toward the middle. They could put Boomer and Hilo in the middle. But having Starbuck there, very important. Mm-hmm. With Anders, who I would like to say is the hottest person in the whole show.
We've said that before.
I know, but I just have to reiterate.
Okay.
Because this is an official
podcast. Think he's the only one showing muscle.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm just saying. He's got some nice biceps there.
And I realized, too, watching the thing, the recap, when he used to have the long hair, I think I liked it. I think he was cuter. Long hair. I know this has nothing to do with anything.
So are we talking about Starbuck?
Yeah, we're still talking about Starbuck, but I think also, just to your point, the way that the picture is that she's so dependent in the picture on
Anders.
On Anders.
Who's leaning on him.
Yeah. So I think it's important to discuss their relationship as mm-hmm. well.
Good point. I don't know. Now that she came back, she needed him, sort of, mm-hmm. I think, to ground her. And that's why she married him, because she was a wild horse. I mean, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And she married him, and I think he kind of brought her some type of
security
and control to her life. Mm-hmm. And then, bam, she dumps him again, and she's off being Kara Thrace again.
Mm-hmm.
But in this picture, you see them leaning on him. So maybe since this person's come back, who's supposedly Starbuck,
mm-hmm.
has it all together. You know what I mean?
Or maybe he'll know. Maybe he will know what and who she is.
He's a Cylon.
Because he's a Cylon. Now we know that he's a Cylon.
Very good point. Is she the eighth?
Is she the... I really don't think she is.
No.
Now they may have tricked me.
She's something else.
Yeah, she's something else.
Wasn't there a point someone brought up? I don't remember if it was on...
Was it Craig?
Maybe. A being of light?
About the
from the original series? I don't remember anything about that.
I happened to see randomly on a Saturday afternoon on some channel where Starbuck got taken by the beings of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know the context, but that could be, she could be a being of light,
right.
Or she could have been saved by them, or it could have nothing to do with it
at all
whatsoever. But still her relationship with Anders.
It's interesting.
It's going to be a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Do we want to talk about Anders or we move on?
I don't know that there's much to talk about.
No,
I think
other than the fact that he's a Cylon now.
Uh-huh. He's a Cylon now. And he's much cuter with a little bit longer hair. And he's the hottest one on the show. And... no, and... What's really interesting about him is how he was brought on. I love twists and turns. I'm a huge Joss Whedon fan, as you know, and I like it when things are just off center. When you get presented with a situation that you think, oh, I know where this is going, and then it turns on its side. And Anders, how many people thought that he was going to make it, like, through the... First of all, he was going to make it off Caprica, and it's like, okay, well, he made it off Caprica.
Yeah.
And then he came...
He was the red shirt.
And then it's like, this dude's going to die. You know, it's like every step of the way, you're like, oh, well, we like him a little more now. That really means he's going to die. Okay, yeah. Oh, he's totally dead now. Like, every step of the way, you thought he was going to die. And it's like, now, not only is he not dead, he's married to one of the main characters, and he's a Cylon. So, very cool. So... Let's move
on. Now we move on to Tyrell.
Oh, yeah.
This is an interesting pose. Obvious. Yeah. I mean, there's not...
It's
there
very
is,
malevolent. Is that the word?
I don't know. He's holding a dagger, a combat knife or something, and he's looking at it like he's thinking about what he should do with it.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if it's a Judas situation or if maybe he's going to defend Six, because when Jesus went up to pray... and the soldiers came to get him, one of the disciples cut off a soldier's ear with a knife, or a sword, I think.
Huh.
And Jesus healed the soldier. So that may be another point. Maybe he's going to defend her with the knife, or, you know, he could be the Judas character to betray her.
Also, and this is something interesting we had talked about even before we knew who the final five were, and... still, one of my theories, anyway, is that just because they happen to be Cylons does not necessarily mean that they hold true to the same values that the other seven hold to.
Mm-hmm.
They could be completely different types.
Exactly.
Of, you know, and let's say that, for instance, Ty, I keep going back to Ty because he's the oldest,
mm-hmm.
really is a Cylon. That's a different model. That's a different type of
Cylon.
Of Cylon. They may be integrated into our DNA already, or the human DNA already. They could work just as hard for the good of man. Just because they're Cylons doesn't necessarily mean they're on the Cylon side. Because the Cylons, you can see that the Cylons are not even all on the Cylon side anymore.
A switch came on with them and turned them, you know, made them realize they're Cylons, but it didn't turn on for them to do some
horrible
task
thing, yeah.
For the Cylons. It was, I don't know, they all were hearing all along the watchtower.
Right.
And what that was, I don't know. Maybe they were picking up waves from Earth. I don't know. You know, radio waves.
Jimi Hendrix is everywhere, man.
Yes.
Totally.
It was a very psychedelic episode, but...
yeah.
You know, it was an interesting way for them to realize that they were Cylons. They didn't just go do some appointed task.
Like kill someone.
No, right, exactly.
Or plant
betray
bombs or do anything like that. And they didn't just suddenly go blank.
Exactly.
Like
they
like
figured
Boomer
it
did.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
They put two and two together.
But yeah, I do. It's interesting because he is really, he's the good guy. He's the best guy of the good guys in the show. And for him to turn Cylon, that completely turns everything on its ear. Exactly.
I think we've said in the past, he's the guy you would want to bring home to mom and dad.
I still kind of feel that way because that's still how his character is. I mean,
he's honorable.
Yeah.
He's so most honorable. Maybe the knife is symbolic.
Or he
of
may
that.
Turn malevolent. I mean, he may be.
Yeah, they would do
they,
that.
They may turn them all completely. But we've already seen with Six and with Boomer that it's possible to still have feelings. Or even Deanna, the number threes, she's having, you know, because the reason she got turned off is because she was having some kind of spiritual experience. The cool thing is the Cylons are not predictable. And so this group of Cylons are not necessarily predictable one way or the other, good or bad. Speaking of Boomer.
Next on the table.
On the line.
Good she's Boomer. She's being embraced by Hilo, and they're both looking at Six, but in kind of a surprised way. Like, she's kind of, she's got her hand on his arm, kind of like, did you hear that? Or, oh my gosh, what is she going to do? You can't really tell by looking at it what exactly is going on there, but Sharon definitely looks surprised.
Or Athena.
Or Athena
Sorry.
Now. Yeah.
I'm so
Sharon,
confused.
Athena, Boomer. And we watched this show.
The chick that all of our guys want. That's the one. It seems like Boomer. Have you noticed that the guys we talk to, you would think that Six would be the one, but most of the guys are like, yeah.
They like Boomer.
They like Boomer. You know what I think it is?
It's because brunette.
Well, of course. That's true.
Nice tan.
But you know what I think it is, though, is she needs to be taken care of.
Well, Six kind of needed that for a while.
No, but that was just Gina. But that was just one bad experience for her. Otherwise, Six can take care of herself. I mean, she's totally, and really she was so vulnerable at that one point that it was exasperating to her. She was really messed up. Whereas, you know, the Boomer models need to be loved, need to be taken care of. Look at her in the picture. You know, he's holding
got his
her.
Arm, yeah, around
you know,
her.
He's holding her, but she's still reaching to be more protected. And that, I think there's something about that. You know, and that's something interesting about her character that none of the other Cylons have. And that even the bad, quote unquote, bad Boomer from, you know, that shot Adama, she
felt bad
even
for
has
her
that.
Yeah.
She even has that quality too. So just to make.
And
make
she got Jack Rubied.
She got Jack Rubied. That's awesome. We didn't get to the Starbucks one. Starbucks a badass. So she escaped.
Those are quotes from the. What was the name of that link?
What the frack is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Sci-Fi Channel website.
Oh, you just have to
watch
it. The
movie we were talking about.
Oh, so sweet. And Hilo. Again, we were so mad at Hilo for so long. He does look good without a shirt. But and he's just like a giant rock. Ugh. He is. Remember him in the fighting episode?
Yes.
My gosh. And he's like the tallest of all of
them.
Well,
he's a boxer. The actor who plays him is a boxer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. No wonder. That would have been scary.
Yeah.
To be in the ring with him if you were not a boxer. Be like, dude, don't hurt me. Don't get carried away. I don't know. He's still kind of, remember all went on. We got so mad at him. If you listen to our archives, you'll hear how mad we are at Hilo.
Well, it wasn't because we were mad at the characters, because at the time they were editing the show, taking things out that were pivotal to the story. And we didn't understand most of what was going on because of that. Or why he was acting the way he was.
Well,
and
they still didn't even explain. I still don't get when he was moved from like pilot to CEO.
Yeah. And then he got busted back to pencil pusher.
And then he was CAG, then he was pencil pusher, then he was back to CAG. I don't know. I don't even know what he is now anymore. So I guess we'll have to watch and see. But he's so his character is very what's the best word to describe this? In kind of melodrama where the I'll save you.
Yeah.
He's the one that rushes and gets the...
Superman.
He's the Superman
but
character.
But what is his kryptonite?
Sharon. It's always a woman.
Yeah, of course. That's not a very good analysis.
But, no, I think you're right. I think he is. He's very, like, little curl, little twinkle in the eye type of Superman. And built like him, too. So, I mean, obviously I'm joking.
Well, I think he's honorable. He always tries to do the right thing no matter what.
Even if it seems like the wrong thing.
Yes.
But he's always like the most straight and narrow kind of white hat.
Yeah.
He's one of the most white hat of the group that you never feel like.
Because everyone else is pretty much gray.
They're gray because they feel like they're making decisions based on certain things where it's like, we have to think of the greater good and the greater good.
Yeah, we have to do this awful, evil thing.
Yes, we may have to compromise something here in order to make up for it here. Whereas Hilo is always, no, we're not doing that. It's not right. No, mm-hmm. we're not doing that. It's not right. And I think that as annoying as that can be, it's also very, very cool. Because I think you have to have a white hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good one. And he's not a Cylon that we know of. Of course, I think that they've already established that Cylons can't have babies together.
Right.
So I think we've...
Pretty much rules him out.
It rules him out, but, you know.
Unless he's the eighth one and there's something special about him.
I don't know.
Could happen since the baby is super special.
Well, the baby's super special because we've been told that they can't reproduce. So, I mean, I that's from the clues that I've been given, that's all I can say. And I think it just, you know, he's just the white hat, even if we hate him for it. Because sometimes a good guy is very annoying, especially if they're too good.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, and that's really what he is. I mean, I think that's good.
So he's screaming, Hi-Ho Silver.
Hi-Ho Silver away. We will not continue the conversation we had earlier.
No.
Okay. And at the very end.
Adama.
Oh, Adama.
Admiral Adama. He's kind of, he's sitting on the edge
he's
of the
carved.
Table.
Carved. He's has, chiseled. His piece yes. is chiseled
the
out
The lighting
of rock.
In this image is very nice. I like the dramatic lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's kind of set off. You can still see them all very dramatically lit.
Yes.
So he's got his hands folded on his lap. He's sitting on the edge of the table and looking off in the distance at no one in particular. And you said you thought he was looking towards the future.
That's
because
what I
he's
think.
Taking them to trying yeah. to take his people to Earth, mm-hmm. trying to save
That's
them.
That's been his goal. Even mm-hmm. when he didn't have that as a goal, it was his goal.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he doesn't necessarily believe it, and that's I always thought was interesting when Rosalind tells him to go out there and I don't care how you feel about it, you go be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you are. And don't think about it. You
that was like in the first, was that the miniseries
yeah,
or the first episode?
No. I think it was actually later than that. I mean, it was in the recap,
mm-hmm.
but I think it was later than that because he kind of felt really beaten down and some other stuff had happened. I think it might even be third season. Anyway, but, or right after, maybe right after the Pegasus commander was killed and everybody was like, oh, maybe. Anyway, we need to look back at that. But the point is that even though he didn't feel like a hero, he has to go pretend to be the hero. He mm-hmm. has to pretend to be the dad. He has to pretend to be the one that everybody can look up to.
I don't think he's pretending to be the dad. He is the
dad.
He
is the dad of the
He's pretending fleet. To care about Earth because he doesn't even know that it exists.
Right.
He has to give his people something to look forward to, something to strive for.
Mm-hmm. Which is important.
Yes.
And it's good that he and Rosalind are on the same
page now.
Mm-hmm. And so now we go all the way. Do you have anything else about Adama?
Nope.
Now we go all the way to the other end of the table. We'll just make a circle to Miss Rosalind.
Uh-huh.
Madam President.
She is also sitting on the edge of the table. They're kind of the bookends to these people at the table, which is interesting because they do kind of, if Adama is the father figure, Rosalind is the mother figure. She is.
Mm-hmm.
And they lead their people together. And she is sitting on the edge of the table with her hand outstretched, leaning on her hand, looking across the table at Lee Adama. Yes, Admiral Adama. She's not looking wistfully off into the future like he is. She's looking at him.
Oh, she's got fire.
Yes, I noticed that. There's some type of like maybe an oil lantern or something at her side.
Hmm.
Which could be symbolic, could just be there to
make a pretty picture.
Yeah, but I don't think it is because it's kind of drawing your eye, if you think about it.
I didn't even realize it was there right away. But the fire, isn't fire wisdom?
In that, context.
In the context.
It looks like it's a lamp. So, and it's used to like an educational seals and things. And because she was a teacher, the educational minister or whatever. I think that's, yeah.
Secretary
symbolic.
Of Education,
that's right. Could be symbolic.
And she looks quite cute.
She does.
I don't know if that...
Does she have the Barbara Walters filter on?
That's not nice.
She doesn't. She's a nice-looking lady.
She is a nice-looking lady, but they do sometimes... I think in the show, they make her look harder.
Yeah,
older.
Well, I mean, there's on been scenes because, where she's had to be hard. Yeah.
And so there's scenes where, like, the way that the lighting is on her, she mm-hmm. looks kind of dark and, like, you know, she's having to make these horrible decisions where she does look very... She looks very nice and very... Very beautiful and effervescent.
Yes,
in this picture. Angelic. And now for the debate.
Yeah, we don't know who this next person is because it's an odd angle.
Number three.
I don't think it is.
It's totally the number three.
No,
I don't understand why you don't get this.
She got boxed, and it doesn't look like Lucy Lawless to me. It looks like an aide I've seen before. It's somebody who never had a real big role on the show, but I've seen her before, and it's been a while since I've watched
but
any of
who
the
else
Battlestar
on this
episodes.
Picture is, I mean.
That would be pointing out six. This person is standing behind Rosalind, pointing at six accusingly.
But think of the conflict between the threes and the sixes.
True. That's true. That's why I think you think that's her, because it does not look like her.
I don't know. I think it does.
Well, we have a group of three standing with this person who's pointing at six, and
the only
it's
reason
Rosalind.
I would say you're right is that there's nobody else at the table that is on the Cylon ship. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other just plain Cylon.
Right.
Everyone else here is with the Colonials.
Exactly.
And so,
why would she be at that table?
But if it's advertising the show, mm-hmm. I see your point. And because of all that was happening with the number threes and how she was killing herself and trying to see the future or whatever she was trying to do, it just feels very...
I would love that for that to be her, but it doesn't look like her to me. It
I
doesn't.
I don't know.
But the thing I was going to say is that there is a group of three on that end of the table, and they're all, except for Rosalind, looking at six accusingly. It's Ty... This person that you think is
Deanna,
and Rosalind's in that group, but she's not focused on them. She's looking at Admiral Adama.
Hmm.
So they're setting up kind of like this is my art theory coming out here. They always set, and you say this too in theater, they do the same thing. They set up triangles or groups mm-hmm. of three to draw your attention. There's a scene going on here, there's a scene going on there, and there's always three.
Yeah.
On the other end of the table, it's Adama, it's Hilo, and it's
Sharon.
And then right next to them,
actually,
Chief.
It's more of a five. It's the five of them creating.
Well, an odd number. But they in groups, they break mm-hmm. They can break off into threes too. As well, I mean.
No, I see. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Anyway, going back to this person pointing...
No, I think that's cool.
Yeah. Don't want to bore anybody.
No, you have to look at the picture in order to listen mm-hmm. to this podcast, I guess. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we'll provide a link.
Put it on the website.
Okay, and Ty. Oh, Ty.
He looks revolted.
He is revolted.
He looks revolted.
He's become what he despises
angry.
The most.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be revolted?
Mm-hmm. He's looking, he's got his chin pointed a little down, looking down his shoulder. He's got his chest pointed towards you, and
uh-huh.
his profile is completely, you know, his chin's,
yeah.
his face is pointed directly at six.
Yeah.
So you see his profile, and he's looking down at, you know, his shoulder.
And you don't see what his good eye is doing.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's why he's looking at
Can't
her
Can't tell
that.
What his good eye is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome, by the way. He's
yeah.
just pretty much one of my favorite.
As we've said in the past.
One of my favorite
Rosalind
characters.
Rosalind and Ty are our favorite characters.
I also like Starbuck.
I don't.
I know.
Not that I don't like her character. I just don't like people like her.
I
have a problem with that.
I understand. I think she's funny. Anyway, so.
Moving on to.
Now, okay. This picture just reminds me of all the annoying things I hated about Lee.
Lee Adama.
In the last.
He thinks too much. He doesn't act. He has to have people talk him into doing stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing that seems like it comes from his heart. Like it comes.
He's always torn.
Yeah.
Contemplates too much.
Yeah. And he, you know, you feel sorry for him falling in love with Kara, but at the same time, it's like he's known her most of his life.
He doesn't act.
How does he not know that she's going to pull some crap like that?
Right.
You know, again, I do feel sorry for him with what happened with her, but
I don't.
Seriously.
He needs
Then he just whined and whined about it.
We don't like whiny men.
We do not like whiny men.
Whiny men are not sexy.
No. That's true.
It doesn't matter how many muscles you have.
And it's just the whole suit thing. He's so much better as a pilot. The whole thing with the lawyer, this is one thing I have to call you out on more. But the whole thing where all of a sudden I've wanted to be a lawyer my whole life. I mean, I get, you know, it made sense. And, you know, it worked within the context of the show. But come on. No, seriously. And now he's sitting there all lawyer-y.
I think he's going into politics next.
Well, that is not a strange jump. Mm-hmm. That's not a strange jump. I can see. Anyway.
I think he's taking over. I think, and I say that because I've seen some of the previews for the premiere or the next season, and I think I read it that way.
Oh, okay.
You know, as that.
And then also we were talking about, since we were looking at this as an artistic mm-hmm. piece, kind of, that he's in the position of the thinker.
Yes. He's thinking, and that's why I said he thinks too much.
He does think too much. And moving on.
And he's by himself. That's the other thing. Everyone's looking at something.
Oh, we missed something.
What's
between
that?
Ty and Lee.
He could be looking at Lee. Down his nose at Lee.
True. But between Ty and Lee, there's uh-huh. a space.
Oh, yes.
And in the original picture that we're talking about, the Da Vinci picture, there are 13
yes.
people
in the painting. And including Jesus, 12 disciples and Jesus. And in this painting, there are only 12 people in an empty spot with a chalice there.
Yep.
Which could be the place for the eighth pylon.
That's what I think.
Yeah, me too.
I think so.
And you were saying in the Jewish faith,
this is what I have read, and I may be wrong, but that they do, on some occasions, special occasions, set a table for the Messiah. The coming Messiah. Again, I may have that like slightly wrong, but I think I have read that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, speaking of the Messiah, this is killing me in those episodes. It's just like the horrible part with I'm sorry I hate to jump myself, but Baltar, okay. Pretty much the thing that annoys me the most about the very last episode and all of the previews for the next few episodes is the idea of people getting together and deciding that Baltar, or even when they were reading his book and deciding he was some sort of blah, blah.
Prophet.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I know.
I just hate it. And you know what's horrible? The worst thing about it is that it would happen.
Yes.
That people.
False prophet.
Would do that. There are people out there in our own world. I mean, think how many women there are that like write to serial killers and like ask them to marry them. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It's
You're
like
right.
these creepy people who are just off their rockers, and that's what we're dealing with.
It's a cult of worshipers that worship the Saint Baltar.
Oh my gosh! And even the way that the thing is, again, I'm not saying it's not true, and I'm not saying it's not playing out correctly, because it is, and I'm just pissed that it is. that it's like, yes, Ron Moore, we know there are people like out. Oh, please don't remind me that there are people like this out there.
Ouch. Yeah, he had the long, scruffy beard, very Jesus-like beard.
Yeah.
And in that one scene where they whisk him away mm-hmm. from his followers, they put a red, was that
oh,
a towel?
Oh, yeah, like
or,
a towel over
or
him.
Or linen over linen. His head that was very reminiscent of,
yes, very biblical.
Yes, biblical looking.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
he's so cult leader.
He is.
He's gonna tell them all to drink Kool-Aid or something.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but yeah, talk about that. Those are your Kool-Aid drinkers.
Yes.
That is that when you talk about your Kool-Aid drinkers, that's who those people are. And they can believe in all sorts of strange things, but in this case, in the case of Battlestar, they're believing in Baltar.
Yep.
And you know, maybe there could be Kool-Aid drinkers that believe too much in Adama. I can totally see that. But man, this is...
I don't think they worship Adama, though.
No, they don't.
They respect him.
They don't. Yeah, you're right. So they can come in all shapes and sizes, but these are definitely the mm-hmm. ultimate in Kool-Aid drinkers. Anyway, so.
So speaking of, well, that brings us right back to...
Right back to Miss Six.
Six, and she's wearing red, which they have red Kool-Aid.
They do have red Kool-Aid.
And we bring it back around.
I think that they had Flavor Aid in Jonestown. I think I was watching something. Oh, I don't know. One of those History Channel specials where they were like, you know, unlike what most people say, because of course the phrase has become Kool-Aid drinker. It was actually Flavor-Aid and it was purple or something. And I'm like, gee,
yeah, bore us with the details. Thanks for the distinction there or the info.
Yeah, weird. But anyway, so that brings us all the way around. I hope this wasn't completely boring for anyone listening without looking at the picture, but you can kind of. We can kind of figure out what we're talking
about.
Figure
out how to get a small image of it.
Yeah.
On the website, even if, because this is eventually going to go away. This.
Yes.
This site or this page on the Sci-Fi Channel will go away. So we'll have to get an image.
I don't know if it's going to be. That's not going to go away for a little while. Probably at least it'll be here for the whole season.
Our podcast, this episode will be around for a while.
Forever.
For a long time.
Maybe this will be part of the season 4 DVD. This picture.
I could.
This picture would probably, if you were designing the DVD cover.
I would totally use that.
Wouldn't you use that? Mm-hmm. So there you go. So is there anyone else that we didn't talk about? What are you looking forward to in the final season?
I want to know what's going on with Starbuck. That's what I'm really looking forward to, is figuring out what's going on with her and, you know, whether or not she really did find Earth.
Right.
And if she's leading them to Earth or if it's, you know, a trap.
It's a trap. It may just be another M-class planet.
As the Admiral Akbar would say. You didn't get it. Another M-class planet. Another New Caprica.
That's just a Star Trek thing, isn't it?
Manchara-class planet.
Isn't that just a Star Trek thing? M-class planet?
I don't know. Class M? I don't think so, no, because they called it Class M.
Really?
Yeah. I think there really is Manchara class. I don't know. Now I'm talking out my rear. Don't write to me.
Please, right. That is no.
Yeah, please. Well, yeah. Write to us because we haven't gotten very many.
We haven't gotten that much mail, but that's okay because we really haven't been picked up that much. But that's okay. We're still kind of starting it up again, and that's why we figured Battlestar would be a good place to start.
Yes,
because it's one of our many loves in life is Battlestar. So as we wrap it up, anything else cool happening with you?
I heard that New Caprica, or the television series Caprica, is a go. They got the red light from, or the green light from the Sci-Fi Channel to make that.
Interesting.
So once this ends, that will begin.
I have no idea what to think about that.
I am looking forward to it because I think it'll...
It's like anything else in its situation. It could suck and it could be really awesome.
But it's coming from Ron Moore and he made this, and if he's going to be doing Caprica, I think it's leaning more towards being good than bad.
Okay. True.
He did write Star Trek. Let's give him some credit here.
He wrote some very good Star Trek episodes. Yes. TNG episodes, I have to admit.
Some of our favorites.
That's true. I think...
You were asking what I've been up to?
Yes. What did you do this weekend?
My brother came to visit. He read some parts for an audio drama I'm doing for Treks and Sci-Fi, which you should listen to when you're not listening to our show. And afterwards, I stayed up until 2 a.m.
Woo!
He stayed up until 5 playing Xbox with my husband and his friend who came over, who also did a part, which thanks, guys. But anyway, yeah, they, what did we play? They figured out what was wrong with my connection to the internet because I could not get on Xbox Live. There was something wrong. It kept saying it wasn't connected. Come to find out, I was right all along and it was the Ethernet cable.
Oh, good.
That we bought that was brand new. So, yeah, we figured that out. And
so it's fixed?
I'm on, yeah.
And so you got all your patches for Oblivion?
I got all my patches for Oblivion and it doesn't crash anymore.
Yay. And,
yeah.
So were you just addicted sitting there?
Oh yeah.
For days and days.
After they left, I mean, I took like 2 or 3 naps on Sunday, and then when I got up, I started playing Oblivion again, which I had put it away for a long time because I just got tired of all the crashes and I got bored because I'm doing all of the missions in the game. And so then I picked it up, started playing again. I'll probably do the same thing with Mass Effect because I've gotten tired of it right now too.
Mass Effect,
I played it all the way
it's supposed to be so
once.
Good.
The story is good.
Xbox.
The game is broken, but you can
You
can still enjoy it. I did.
Okay.
So,
I hear it's good.
Yes.
And I would like a console a new console because we have a GameCube.
Get a 360 so we can play.
And we have a GameCube. I know that sounds lame, but we really play more PC games anyway, which is why we just have the GameCube. And I enjoy the gameplay on a console so much better, but we love to play WoW. So we've been playing WoW a lot. I took a little bit of a break from WoW last week and decided I needed to play hours and hours and hours of Civilization IV, which was so fun. I had a lot of fun playing it, but I was in it to win it, and hours and hours went by without me knowing the time had gone by.
It happens.
Which is not good at all.
Yeah, that's like me. When I was playing Oblivion the other day, I was looking at the clock going, okay, I'll play until 9.
Right.
9 came around, okay, I'll play until 9:30. 10 came around, I'll play until 10.
And 10:30. Then it's midnight.
Oh, yeah, then I went to bed at 11. I finished the level I was on. I closed an Oblivion gate and I was like, all right, my job is done for the
evening. The good thing about like Oblivion, even World of Warcraft, is that you have little jumps that you can take, whereas Civilization, you're not done until you're done, until your whole civilization has played out. And yeah, so I had to play. But I'm glad I did, you know.
It's cathartic.
For gamers. In a few weeks, I'm not going to be able to play at all for a while, so might as well get it going. So might as well enjoy the game playing while I can.
Well, so. You never know. The baby could be lulled to sleep by the sound of Simlish.
I don't remember.
I think it's Simlish.
I know Simoleons is the money. Now I feel bad. I'm not a very good Sims player, am I? Okay. All right. Well, I think this is it since we veered completely off topic. And cool. All right.
Say again?
Yes.
Okay.
Go! Go, Jenny!
Next time on Anomaly, we'll be having a discussion on the season premiere of BSG with several of our friends via Skype.
That would be awesome. Please visit us on our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. You can hit the contact button and email us directly from the site, or you can email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. And meanwhile, I'm Angela.
And this is Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems, why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie, gotta get another fix. I'm a television junkie, comes in 30-minute hits. Television leads to complacency, when boredom sets in and you turn on the TV. My life is missing something so bad. Theme song and laughter. Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie, gotta get another fix. I'm a television junkie, comes in 30-minute hits. And then you turn on the TV, and there's nothing there. And you run at a slower rate. It all started when I watched The Simpsons, the greatest show on television. On Fox, I can't tune it twice a day. Damn, I wish my life was the